There is this incredibly specific, incredibly modern type of frustration that anyone building an audience or a business today has probably slammed into at some point.
Oh, absolutely.
It's that sinking feeling, right? Where you're pouring hours, maybe even days, into this beautifully researched, impeccably written piece of long-form content.
Right, and you're so proud of it.
Exactly. You publish it to your website and you just watch it vanish into the void. Like the analytics dashboard just completely flatlines.
It's brutal.
Or, you experience the exact opposite problem. You finally crack the algorithmic code. You get this short form video to go massively viral on TikTok or Instagram, millions of views.
And you think you've made it,
Right.
huh?
But then you check your back end metrics and you see exactly zero sales, zero email signups, and just zero meaningful business impact.
Yeah, it is a systemic trap, honestly, and it catches everyone. I mean, from solo operators to massive, heavily funded corporate marketing teams,
Crazy how common it is.
you are essentially generating motion without progress. The effort is totally there, and the execution might even be flawless on a technical level, but the underlying engine just isn't catching the gears.
Well, that structural failure is our exact mission for today's deep dive. We're looking at this highly comprehensive 2025-2026 strategy guide.
Yeah, the one from the SBC Tech blog.
Right, from SBC Tech. It's titled Content Marketing versus Social Media Marketing. Why you can't have one without the other.
It's a great read.
It really is. So for you, the listener, whether you're, an entrepreneur scaling a startup or a marketer navigating all this modern tech, or just someone fascinated by the digital economy, this deep dive is basically about taking a shortcut.
Because people really need one right now.
They do. We are going to unpack how to stop treating these disciplines as isolated silos and start wiring them together into a machine that actually compounds your growth over time.
Yeah, and what makes the SBC Tech analysis so compelling to me is how they diagnose the root cause of that exact frustration you just described.
The flatlining dashboard.
Exactly. It usually stems from this fundamental framing error, usually at the leadership level. You see, businesses basically treating content marketing and social media marketing as these distinct, almost competing philosophies.
Like they have to choose one over the other.
Right. They allocate their budget to one, put all their operational chips on it, and then they expect it to carry the entire weight of their customer acquisition. And the data heavily suggests that approach is just structurally doomed.
So let's look at the actual mechanics of these two engines, right?
Yeah.
Starting with the content marketing side, which the guide categorizes as the pull dynamic.
The pull, yeah.
We all understand the basic premise here. Building a repository of high-value material so people find you when they're actually searching for a solution.
Right.
But what's fascinating in the data here is the sheer economic leverage of that pull.
Oh, the numbers are wild.
The source points out that this kind of organic content generates over three times as many leads as traditional outbound marketing. And it does it at a 62% lower cost.
Yeah, and that economic leverage, it comes entirely from the compounding nature of indexable architecture.
Indexable architecture. Break that down for us.
So when you pay for an ad, the second you stop paying, the traffic goes to zero. Boom, gone.
Right. It's just a faucet you turn off.
Exactly. But when you engineer a highly relevant, deeply researched guide, it acts like a digital employee that works 24/7.
I love that analogy.
It gains authority, it moves up the search rankings, and it just pulls in targeted traffic for years. The guide actually brings up HubSpot to illustrate this
Oh,
mechanism.
yeah, HubSpot is the classic example here.
Right. I mean, they didn't grow to a $1 billion valuation just by having a good software product. They built an absolute fortress of a blog.
A fortress.
Yeah, they systematically mapped out practically every single question a potential customer might type into Google, and they just wrote the definitive answer for it.
They basically built an impenetrable library of utility. But, here is where we kind of have to pivot the conversation. Because if content marketing is that slow compounding pull, social media marketing represents a completely different behavioral mechanism entirely.
Totally different beast.
Yeah, it's categorized in the source as push plus community. You aren't waiting for a user to realize they have a problem and, go search for a solution.
You're going to them.
Right. You are injecting your message directly into their existing daily habits.
And the scale of those habits in 2025 is what makes the push dynamic just completely unavoidable. I mean, we are looking at over 5.41 billion active social media users right now.
Which is just a staggering number.
It's roughly 65.7% of the entire global population.
Wow.
But the sheer volume isn't even the most critical metric for marketers to understand here. It's actually the fragmentation of their attention.
Right, because they aren't just sitting on one app.
Exactly. The average user is now actively engaging with 6.8 different social platforms every single month.
So they're constantly context switching. Like, you have the exact same person reading a highly technical white paper on LinkedIn at, say, 10 a.m.
Right.
And then they're scrolling through culturally hyper-relevant, super fast-paced videos on TikTok at 8 p.m.
Same exact person, totally different mindset.
Right. That is an enormous, highly fragmented audience just waiting to be activated. But the SBC Tech Guide points out that capturing that attention requires understanding the structural divide between the two mediums.
You have to know the difference.
Yeah. So content is engineered for long-term authority and search engine optimization. It is evergreen. A blog post has a lifespan measured in years.
Whereas social media, structurally, it's designed for immediate reach and just fleeting engagement. A social post's lifespan is literally measured in hours.
Right. And that discrepancy in lifespan dictates how you measure success, doesn't it?
Absolutely. With your evergreen content, you're looking at domain authority, indexed pages, and qualified lead velocity.
The slow burn metrics.
Exactly. But with your ephemeral social media, you are analyzing algorithmic reach, engagement rates, and, you know, shareability.
Okay, let's unpack this for a second, because looking at those numbers, I have to play devil's advocate here.
Go for it.
If nearly 66% of the global population is already living on social media, right? And they're constantly bouncing between basically 7 different apps a month.
Right.
It begs the question, why even bother maintaining the website? Why deal with the friction of trying to pull them off a platform they're already addicted to? Like, can't a brand just operate entirely natively on social media and skip the massive operational heavy lifting of running a blog?
It is the most common strategic temptation for modern brands. I see it all the time. But the data shows it is a catastrophic long-term mistake.
Catastrophic? Why is that?
It comes down to the underlying architecture of digital ownership. When you build your entire business model natively on a social platform, you are completely at the mercy of their algorithmic priorities.
Which we know can and do change overnight.
Literally overnight.
It's like trying to run a high-end retail boutique inside a mega mall where the landlord comes in every night at 2 a.m. and just completely rearranges the floor plan without telling you.
That is such a good way to put it.
Right. One day you're at the main entrance, and the next day you're hidden behind the food court, and you have zero recourse.
Zero. That is a perfect visualization of algorithmic volatility. But a blog, or really any self-hosted content hub, it lives on your own domain. You own the floor plan.
You control the real estate.
Exactly. And the structural advantage of that ownership is massive. The source highlights this phenomenal statistic, actually. Websites with active, substantive blogs have 434% more indexed pages than those without.
434%?
Yes. That means you have 434% more hooks in the water for search engines to grab onto. I mean, no amount of viral, ephemeral social posts can replicate that kind of foundational, owned search real estate.
Which brings us to the central thesis of the SBC tech strategy. The realization that these two forces, right, the evergreen pull and the ephemeral push, they are not an either-or choice.
Not at all.
They are deeply symbiotic. You simply cannot execute one effectively at scale without the other.
Right, because without the foundational content, your social media channels are just a hollow shell. You are basically demanding attention without providing any underlying value to sustain it.
And on the flip side.
Conversely, without the distribution engine of social media, your deeply researched content is essentially just locked in a basement where literally no one can find it.
You know, I was trying to map this dynamic out mentally while I was going through the source material, and it struck me that it operates exactly like Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, I like where this is going.
Think of your core content marketing, right? Hmm. That 3,000-word industry report or that hour-long deep dive podcast is the massive Thanksgiving turkey.
Okay, tracking.
It requires hours of prep, a huge investment of resources, you know, you roast it all day, you use your foundational effort.
Right.
Social media marketing is the week of leftover sandwiches, the turkey soups, the quick snacks you make from it over the subsequent days.
That is brilliant.
Right. You get dozens of high-value, easy-to-consume meals out of it.
Yeah.
But you absolutely cannot have the leftovers without roasting the big bird first.
The atomization of content. It's a really brilliant way to conceptualize the workflow, because if you are operating strictly as a social media manager without a content engine backing you up,
yeah,
you are essentially trying to make turkey sandwiches using nothing but mayonnaise and bread.
That sounds awful.
Right. You are constantly stressed. You're scrambling for shallow ideas just to meet a posting quota. But when content fuels social, one deeply researched white paper atomizes into like a dozen highly engaging assets.
So it breaks down into all these different pieces.
Exactly. It becomes a multi-slide LinkedIn carousel detailing the key metrics. It becomes three short-form video scripts unpacking the overarching concepts, maybe a threaded discussion on X.
So you do the intellectual heavy lifting once, and it feeds the distribution channels for weeks.
Exactly. But the guide is very clear that the relationship flows in the other direction as well. It's not just about content feeding social. It's about social actively amplifying the content.
Because, going back to the Thanksgiving analogy, hosting the turkey doesn't matter if nobody knows dinner is actually served.
And the data on amplification here is sobering, honestly. The source points out that a staggering 90% of marketers rely on social media to distribute their content.
Okay, so almost everyone is doing it.
Yes, but the real friction point is found in the power law of distribution. Only 2% of B2B articles generate 75% of all social media shares.
Wait, 2%?
2%.
That is an incredibly steep curve. So 2% of the content is basically hoarding 3/4 of the visibility.
Yeah, it really implies that simply hitting publish on a great piece of content is just no longer sufficient. If you are not actively engineering your social distribution to push that content into the algorithm, you effectively do not exist in the marketplace.
Wow.
And then there's the third synergy the guide discusses, which is how social media actually dictates the content creation process itself.
Oh, this part was fascinating.
Right. The comment sections, the direct messages, the poll responses, these interactions basically form the largest, most immediate, and entirely free market research focus group in human history.
It's real-time market validation. You don't have to guess what your 3,000-word guide should be about next month because your audience is literally already arguing about the nuances of the topic in the comments of your Instagram reel today.
Exactly. It removed the friction of ideation entirely.
But, you know, this brings up a highly technical point of friction that constantly confuses strategists, and I want to make sure we clarify it for the listener.
Okay, let's hear it.
How does that social engagement actually interface with Google's search algorithm? Like, if my atomized video clip gets 1 million views on TikTok, does Google's crawler actually factor that into my domain authority?
The mechanism is indirect, but incredibly powerful.
Indirect how?
Well, social signals, you know, the sheer volume of likes, shares, or views on a platform like TikTok or LinkedIn, they are not hard-coded ranking factors in Google's core algorithm.
So Google isn't directly counting the likes.
Right. 1 million likes does not equal a bump in search ranking by itself. What social media does is ignite a chain reaction that produces the specific metrics Google heavily rewards.
Okay, so what you're saying is that a viral social post acts more like a digital flare. It doesn't boost the ranking natively, but it catches the eye of someone with real authority who then takes an action that Google actually tracks.
Flat on.
Walk me through the mechanics of that chain reaction.
It generally follows a four-stage flow. First, you have the initial social visibility. You push a contrarian or, you know, highly insightful snippet onto LinkedIn.
Okay, step one.
Second is content discovery. Because the algorithm pushes that engaging snippet out, it crosses the feed of a high-leverage user, maybe an industry journalist or a prominent blogger.
Someone who actually has a website of their own.
Exactly. Third, and this is the critical inflection point, is the backlink. That journalist clicks through to your full foundational blog post, realizes it's incredibly well-researched, and they cite it in their upcoming Forbes article, for example.
Ah, the golden ticket.
Right. Finally, you get the higher ranking. Google's crawler identifies that backlink from a massive domain authority like Forbes, validates your site as a trusted resource, and elevates your position in the search results.
That makes perfect sense. So the social post is really just the transportation vehicle getting the actual substance in front of the gatekeepers who control those backlinks.
Exactly. And the SBC Tech Guide backs this up by citing a massive cognitive SEO study that analyzed, I think it was 23 million social shares.
That's a huge data set.
It's massive. And the correlation between robust social distribution and dominant search visibility is undeniable.
Yeah.
It isn't algorithmic magic. It is pure exposure mechanics.
Just getting it in front of the right eyeballs.
Yep. That is why 81% of marketers in the data report that integrating social media directly increased their core website traffic and qualified leads.
Well, here's where it gets really interesting. The source distills all of this theory into a highly operational framework that they call the content machine loop.
Loop, yes.
It's designed to move teams away from that erratic kind of guess and check posting style and into a systemic data flow.
Yeah, and the loop requires four continuous phases, right? Create, distribute, listen, and improve.
Walk us through them.
You start by engineering the high-value asset, which is the create phase. Then you atomize it across the networks in the distribute phase, making sure the format natively matches the specific platform's culture.
But the listen phase is where the actual compounding happens, isn't it? Because you're shifting from just being a broadcaster to actually being an analyst.
Precisely. The listen phase is about stripping away your own assumptions and looking at the real behavioral data, like which specific carousel slide caused users to pause.
Right. Where did they stop scrolling?
Exactly. Or what exact phrase in the short form video triggered an influx of direct messages. You aggregate those friction points.
And then you feed that back in.
Right. In the improve phase, you feed that qualitative data directly back into the create phase for your next foundational asset. So the machine just gets smarter and more targeted with every single revolution.
So let's ground this theory in daily application. For you, the listener, how do you actually structure this loop when you log in to work tomorrow morning?
Good question.
The guide suggests mapping this content flow directly against the friction points of your customer funnel. And since we know the top of the funnel is just an absolute bloodbath for user attention right now, the data suggests leaning heavily into short-form video.
Yeah, that is where the push is most effective for pure awareness. The source specifically notes that short-form social videos are driving a 41% return on investment for B2B marketers.
41% for B2B, that's huge.
It is. In an era of compressed attention spans, it's just the highest leverage format for capturing a stranger's focus.
But once you have their attention, you have to move them into consideration.
Yeah,
right? Yeah, they have to prove you actually possess depth.
You can't just be a flashy video.
Right. And that's where you deploy the atomized pieces of your deep research. The LinkedIn carousels, the data visualizations, the threaded case studies. You are actively answering the questions they didn't even know they had yet.
Exactly.
And finally, at the decision stage, you use the social channels to deploy irrefutable proof. Client testimonials, ROI breakdowns, and, you know, direct product integrations.
And to execute that funnel seamlessly, the guide outlines the modern operational tech stack. And what is really vital to understand here isn't just the list of tools, but how they actually pass data to one another to automate that content machine loop.
Let's trace that workflow, because I think this is where the rubber meets the road.
Let's do it.
You start the create phase in a workspace like Notion, organizing the raw search data you pulled from SEO tools like SEMrush or Ahrefs, so you know exactly what the audience is searching for.
Right. And from there, you integrate AI layers like ChatGPT or Claude, and not to write the final piece, but to accelerate the ideation and the structuring of that data.
Right, as an assistant, not a replacement.
Exactly. Then, for the distribute phase, the execution moves into visual editors like Canva for the carousels and maybe CapCut for editing those high ROI short form videos.
And finally, the distribution and listen phases are managed through publishing hubs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like WordPress for the core domain and Sprout Social or Buffer to push the atomized content out.
Yep.
And this is the crucial part of the workflow. You take the engagement analytics from Sprout Social, you identify the knowledge gaps in your audience, and you feed those specific gaps right back into Claude or Notion to brief the next piece of content.
The software stack itself forms the continuous loop.
It's beautiful, honestly. Now, there's one operational warning in the STC tech source that we really must highlight, particularly for any listener currently vetting external partners to build this machine for you.
Oh, this is so important.
If you engage an agency and they present you with a strategic proposal for content marketing and then a completely separate siloed proposal for social media marketing.
Yeah.
You need to walk out of the room immediately.
Yeah, that is the ultimate red flag of an outdated operational model.
It just guarantees failure.
It does, because the elite agencies inherently understand that these functions cannot be decoupled. If your content architects are in one department building massive resources and your social team is in another department desperately trying to manufacture engagement without speaking to the architects.
The compounding loop is just broken before it even starts.
Exactly. You essentially have one team roasting turkeys in a vacuum and another team trying to make sandwiches out of thin air. It fundamentally does not work.
It really doesn't. So what does this all mean for you, the listener? The ultimate takeaway from this deep dive is a total paradigm shift in how you allocate your resources.
It's a mindset shift.
You have to stop choosing between the evergreen pull and the ephemeral push. They're two halves of the exact same growth engine. The content creates the foundational gravity, and the social media creates the velocity to pull people into that orbit.
Yeah, and the immediate action item here is to audit your own daily workflow.
Take a hard look at what you're doing.
Right. Are you operating as an isolated content creator, just shouting meticulously crafted ideas into a void because you refuse to engage with the friction of distribution?
Or are you operating as a frantic social media manager, constantly burning out because you lack the foundational architecture to support your daily posting quota?
You really have to bridge that gap. Roast the turkey, then systematically distribute the leftovers.
Exactly. Now, to close out today's deep dive, we always like to look past the immediate data. As we map out this highly integrated loop of creation and distribution, the rapid advancement of the AI tools we discussed earlier suggests a massive structural shift on the horizon.
Yeah, here is a paradigm shift to really mull over, and the guide's data points directly toward this, even if it doesn't explicitly state it.
What's a shift?
Well, as AI continues to drive the marginal cost of the create phase down to absolute zero, I mean, we are about to experience an influx of competent long-form content unlike anything in human history.
Just a tidal wave of text.
The sheer volume of information will be staggering, which means the future premium won't be placed on who can produce the most content, or honestly, even the most accurate content.
Where does the premium go then?
The premium will entirely shift to the trust of the curator. In a sea of infinite, zero-cost AI-generated answers, the ultimate competitive advantage might just be the brand that can successfully use their social media distribution to prove there is a real beating human heart and genuine lived experience behind their operation.
Wow. That is a phenomenal lens to view the future through.
Yeah.
When information becomes a commodity, human authenticity becomes a luxury asset.
Well said.
You know, you started listening today to solve the frustration of the invisible blog and the empty viral video. Now you have the architectural blueprint to wire those pieces together into a compounding machine. Connect the pull to the push, own your digital real estate, and build a system that actually outlasts the algorithm. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you on the next one.